If it's happening in sports in Saskatchewan, we've got it covered. The all-new Sports Cage. Be part of the show. Call 936-6262 or toll-free 1-866-767-0620. On your radio at 620 CKRM and online at sportscage.com.
Saskatchewan, it is the all-new Sports Cage. Welcome on this Thursday. Barney Shankara, Kellen Enslev, Dave Thomas, Luke Mullender, Colson on the Ivory Keys over there. We are back, and we are the home of Rough Rider Training Camp. It is an exciting show, and to use the overused term in sports shows, we are jam-packed. Rider Camp all day long for the next 3 hours. Luke and Dave are going to run that down. We're getting into them momentarily. NHL playoffs last night, if you saw it, a little tussle. David Pastrnak, Matthew Tkachuk. Who is better to talk about that than a former pugilist for the Boston Bruins from Saskatchewan? We're going to talk to Jeremy Reach in a bit. Arash Madani joins us. The WHL prospect draft is just wrapping up. We're going to talk to Dale McMillan, head scout of the Regina Pats. We're going to run down all the Sasky weapons that were taken today. Glenn Suter joins us in hour three. And also a little feature in our Indigenous spotlight today on the world's largest Indigenous hockey tournament, which gets going next weekend in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan. But we start, like I said, with Rough Rider Training Camp. And our training camp reports are brought to you by Souls Harbor Rescue Mission in Regina, showing compassion and kindness to our neighbors in need. For more information or to donate, see shrmsk.ca today. Dave Thomas, Luke Mullender. All right, boys, I got to start with this. I'm a Saskatoon guy, right? Okay, so lots of time down by the river. In my younger days, used to go jogging with the shirt off, right? Tarp off down by the river. Now, did I hear correctly? Were you guys close to tarps off today at practice?
No, it was suns out, guns out,
okay,
my friend.
Okay.
That was Trevor Harris. He was looking good, and you saw him, right? He shed the Under Armour today.
Well, listen, there's never going to be a time for all of 2024 CFL season where these guys look better than right now. once the bumps and the bruises and, right, everybody's been eating right up until now, right? Once you get into that season, though, and, you know, your diet starts falling off a little bit because you're not in off-season mode, we'll see if suns out, guns out continues.
We have to start every training camp report, speaking of that, with our weather report, because so many people, football, right? Was it windy? Was it rainy? What was it like up there today, Dave?
Sunny today, beautiful day, as I mentioned. Okay, so some of the guys, they actually shed a layer from where they were at yesterday. Temperature was climbing near 20. That wind, though, was a pain in the butt, gusting near 60 kilometers an hour at times. So it was kind of uncomfortable with the wind. The Quality Tire weather report, of course, Quality Tire, 9 locations across Saskatchewan or online at qualitytire.ca. But that did not deter the intensity. Luke, what did you see out there when it came to intensity, especially in the team's period?
Well, I like the pace of today's practice. Again, being that it's the second day, I think that the people who were there yesterday probably would have noticed a significant difference in execution. And that's because these guys have had an opportunity now to, A, talk about the playbook that went in on day one. More importantly, though, they've seen themselves on film now, right? So you start to get your feet under yourself a little bit more, but more importantly, your awareness picks up a little bit. You start understanding where some of the flaws and the very basic things that the coaches are asking you to execute are. And so it should gradually start to get better. I would expect that they could have a better practice tomorrow because, hey, the lights get going and the heat gets turned up once these vets get in on Sunday.
Tell me a little bit about what a player does, right? So we get an opportunity as fans, as people that are just coming to Griffith Stadium in Saskatoon to see them perform on the field. But what happens before that and after that leading up to the next workout?
Well, right now, the fellas are probably in either team meetings or film, right? So you would have probably woken up early today, had a good breakfast, right? Because you're at practice for a while. You get in, you get your ankles taped, you visit with the guys in the locker room. Right away, Coach Mace will come in, give you the running orders for the day, right? You already know what you're going to be asked to do as far as plays roll out, because you discussed that the evening before in your meetings. And then it's just you're rolling through practice. Right after practice, though, you want to get in the ice tub. You want to get the necessary treatment, right? Get the ice on the right spots. Get in, get a nice lunch, and get ready to roll for film again, because it's a continuous cycle from now until the exhibition game.
Hey, Luke, Kate, so you talk about this film, right? And I've always kind of wondered this. So you said guys are going in yesterday. They had a chance to watch film on themselves. Are they just watching themselves, or are they kind of watching everybody, and then guys are getting to know tendencies maybe a little bit? I know it's only day one, but are they watching film on everybody?
Yeah, so let's take today's practice. Each guy out there is going to watch every single rep of practice that they were either involved in or their position group was involved in. So, for instance, the only thing today that the DBs and wide receivers won't watch will be the one-on-ones with the offensive line and defensive line. Other than that, 7-on-7, indie drill, team drill, all of those are documented, right? Because that's how you learn. That's how these coaches get to learn about you, right? Is the guy who's an incredible athlete sitting next to me, can he catch on to what I'm asking him? More importantly, when I coach him up, when we see the film, for instance, on 7-on-7, if I've asked him to break off a 10-yard dig 8 yards if they hear a certain call, is he going to do that, right? And if I've asked him after the film, do I have to keep asking him, right? Is this a guy who can catch on? Is this guy coachable? Those are the type of things that these guys are going to get to learn about the players. And as far as players, they're going to get really helpful tips from the guys who have been in their shoes before. These are the coaches, right? So when you're watching your bull rush as a defensive line, right, like dropping your arm into the guy's chest maybe an inch is going to do a world of difference. And the coaches, hey, is he going to take this coaching? And more important, the players, hey, can I execute this? So the film's the most important part. You hear people all the time when it comes to athletes say 90% of it's mental. The film is your biggest asset.
If you break it all down for today, was there something that stood out? Was there like an intense play that caught you guys?
Well, I'll go right to our breakout play of the day for Quality Tire with 9 locations across Saskatchewan, qualitytire.ca. Now, some guys aren't going to like the film that they put out today. One guy that is CJ Caldon. Of course, he has some NFL experience, and he made not one, but two, but three different interceptions during the span of the one-on-ones today, the 7-on-7, if you will, the DBs and the receivers. And I had a chance to catch up with the defensive back after practice today just to find out how he was feeling after day two of Canadian Football League practice.
I feel great. It's a lot of work, just traveling over, just coming to get some work in with the team and just trying to make the team work hard.
Well, you made a heck of a statement today with a couple of very acrobatic, spectacular, and well-read plays. Tell me about your day today, coming up with a couple of picks.
I just do what the coaches ask of me. In the scheme, my teammates helping me out. We just play off one another, just really learning the system and trying to learn the defense as much as I can and just pick up on things very fast and just play fast and make plays.
How steep of a learning curve is it? How quickly have you had to go ahead and grasp what the concepts are, especially with a new style of defense in Canada?
Very quick, because Coach Bell, he fast talker and things like that. Well, we had some Zooms before, like during the off season while we were back home and stuff like that, so that helped too. But actually getting out here and seeing how it feels and doing the things, you got to pick up fast. You got to be a fast learner, but you got to put that extra time in too, in your notes and the iPad, and just getting with your teammates and getting the schemes down.
The quarterbacks often talk about how they have to adjust to having an extra defender on the field. Mm-hmm. That also means there's an extra guy you might have to cover.
Yes, sir.
How is that adjustment as a DB?
It's very different. That's probably the main thing I was really not really worried about, but kind of like on my mind. The big field and the extra player, like how do I play? Like my reads are different coming from, you know, the NFL to the CFL. The reads are a little bit different, like reading the QB, reading the receivers and what they run in. They run in motion and stuff like that. So it takes some getting used to.
Now, you mentioned that you have had an opportunity with the Minnesota Vikings when you were working down with them. What did they teach you that you can bring to this camp and maybe improve yourself individually so you know what to expect?
I just got better every day. Like, that's my main thing, just get better every day. And the guys I was going against, really, like JJ and Addison, TJ Hockenson, KJ Osborne at the time, just a lot of those guys, I was getting extra work in, just really working hard, because you can't really coach hard work, just come from the heart and just going out there and playing football, having fun with it too.
Mm-hmm. Coach says that he wants his defenders to be greedy wanting the football. You were greedy today. Congratulations. Yes, that must feel good.
Yep, it does. It feels very good. Turnovers change the game a lot, and turnovers for touchdowns, you know, that's a higher percentage of a win for our team. So Coach Mace talked about it yesterday a little bit, but I just want to make plays and help my team the best way I can.
Lastly, obviously, there are some spots in the secondary. Everybody's going to take a shot at them. Were you aware of them? Are you aware of them coming into this camp and wanting to stake your claim to one of them?
Yes, sir. Definitely. I'm aware, but wherever the coaches put me and wherever they want me to play, I'm going to play it, and I'm going to play it to the best of my ability. So just giving 110% wherever they put me out there. And versatility is good, too, just learning those positions. So you know what you're doing, so you know what he's doing, too. So you can go in there and play positions just in case they need you and things like that. Versatility is very good.
CJ, appreciate the time. All the best here at camp moving forward.
Yes, sir. I appreciate you. Thank you.
I got this to you, Luke. That guy, I think he's been coached before on the right things to say. You know, you can't coach hard work, interceptions, you'll turn into a touchdown, all that. Your thoughts on him and the interview as well. Your thoughts on him as a player and the interview. That was good out of the gate.
Well, you know, obviously he said a couple key things, right? He talked about just adjusting to what's he sees on film, but also doing what his coaches are asking him to do. As far as a defensive back, I mean, a couple of his picks, those weren't ducks that were just thrown up in the air that he got under like a punt. I mean, he took those away, right? And you don't have a large window of opportunity in training camp to make plays. So him capitalizing on these reps in rookie camp and gaining momentum for himself is crucial to his ability to get a spot on this team. Because first of all, there's not a ton of spots on the defensive back roster available, right? There might be a spot and a practice roster spot.
Yeah.
So these guys have to show out. And the reason why I talk about the window of opportunity being short is once Sunday hits, right? Yeah. If you're a starter in rookie camp, you go down to like third string pretty quickly, right? When Roland Milligan and everybody get in. So you've got to take advantage of the opportunities that you have. And I loved his anticipation. I mean, one of the touchdown that he took back, that was anticipation. He broke in front of the wide receiver. Now, again, here's the other thing about this, right, guys? The quarterbacks and these new players in the Canadian Football League, they're going to take a couple practices to get on the same page. So right now, these DBs, they're going to have some opportunities because the routes that the quarterbacks are expecting the wide receivers to run might not be getting run. So you can jump things a little bit earlier, and I thought Colton did a great job today with that.
Well, if there's one thing that is for sure, he had the end zone dance down. Because he put on a good celly, and boy, it was on today, I thought, between both the offense and defense. Coach Mace is going to talk about that coming up after 5 o'clock this afternoon, how he saw that intensity and the chirping back and forth. I don't know, did you like it? Like, did you think it was out of the norm?
No, I think that, for a rookie camp, I think they had a good practice, right? And here's the nice thing about it, is you get that tempo, you get that intensity two ways. You get an engaged coaching staff, and Coach Mace is a really engaged. I really, for the first time seeing Coach Mace as the head coach of this team, I thought he was great, right? But more importantly, his supporting staff is great. They're a very active coaching staff. They take their time to explain the things that they need to get across to these players, right? But more importantly, the biggest thing and the biggest helper for these coaches is having the quarterbacks there. Having the guys who are in 1, 2, 3 in the depth chart out there throwing, because those guys set the tone and the tempo, and those guys can, more importantly, set the pace of the drill, especially when they're in 7-on-7 and teams. So having an engaged coaching staff is one, and having the veteran quarterbacks there is two. Otherwise, it might look a little bit chaotic at times. I'm not saying it didn't, right? One of the first issues you and I talked about was the snaps, right? Yeah. If you're at the center position, you're going to have to get the snaps right on Friday because they were off today.
Yeah.
But again, again, it could have been a lot more chaotic than it was.
Luke, you've been to a lot of training camps as a player and then covering them. Intensity, day two, on par, and then maybe execution as well, on par with the rest of them. A little bit better, maybe you need a little bit sharper. What do you think there?
No, honestly, it's right where you would anticipate it. And the nice thing about saying that, too, is you got to remember that this is a whole new coaching staff. This is a first-year head coach who's also calling his own defenses. And that was one of the dynamics I really wanted to watch. And so I'll compare. I'll look at Chris Jones when he was in here from 2016 to 2019. One of the things that you saw about Chris Jones is the demand in terms of reps, but also Coach Jones would be dictating the situation and then calling the defense, right? It was different with Coach Mays. I really liked his approach, right? He got the situation in, let's say 7-on-7, you know, hey, second and 7 plus right now. And then what he would do is he would look at, I think it was J.C. Sherritt, and he would give the play to J.C. Sherritt, right? So I think that when the way that translates into the 2024 season is it takes a little bit of pressure off if you know the expectation. But again, you're the head coach, but you can oversee the logistics of the game and just sort of entrust your other guys to make the defensive calls or suggest defensive calls. You know, Bill Belichick was a lot like that a lot with the New England Patriots, right? You knew it was his defense. You knew it was his rollout, but you also knew that his son, Steve Belichick or whatever his name was with the crazy hairdo, he was out there calling plays, right?
Steven.
Steve.
Steven. Yeah, that was as the crazy hairdo is, right? The mullet. What trailer part? Anything different day two for you, Dave? You know, yesterday you talked about right out of the gate, 8:30 in the morning, working on punt coverage and whatnot. Was it intense right from the get-go again today? And then second part was the crowd. Was the fans there again?
Yeah, oh yeah. The fans, there were more fans, probably double the number of fans today than what there were yesterday, and I would anticipate more. And special teams weren't as big of a focus today as I thought they probably worked a little bit more. And as Luke mentioned, right, the preparation, the tools, the put in place of those systems, even though they aren't real sophisticated right now, but there was much more work on that, I
thought. Well, special teams is going to be a critical piece to watch, too. One thing about having Coach Craig Dickinson here for the last few years was you knew that the special teams of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders were going to be really prepared. I think that right now they've got Kent Maggiore, who's going to take this. He's a great coach. But again, there's that missing piece that makes you say, I wonder how this is going to roll out, just because, hey, it's a different guy setting the demand.
No tractor tires today, Barney, just so you know, either.
Oh, they're going to put you guys to work. Bidzy has probably took it. He's working on the other field, throwing it around. Hey, Luke, we talked about this yesterday. We weren't here, but how much scouting or preparation do a lot of these first-timers to the Canadian game and the Canadian field put into it before they come up? Because there's a lot of things to learn and change. And now with technology, how it's advanced, pretty accessible, are a lot of guys coming up knowing, you know, where the hash marks are, the fields, the end zones, all that, and the five-yard halo?
Well, it all depends on what type of person you are, right? If you're a person that doesn't take the game seriously and thinks that you're just going to come up here and dominate the competition because it's the Canadian Football League, you probably don't do a ton of research. If you're a guy, especially like CJ Colden, who sounds like he put the effort into learning about the game, then you're going to be able to put your best foot forward here. I think that what's changed since I was a player coming into the league in 2004 is, you mentioned it, it's the technology. It's the ability for the coaches to just send you the playbook in a PDF format. It's the ability for you to get online on some of these services that have film waiting there for you broken down, right? Like the Saskatchewan Rough Riders film crew can send you a few cuts of the expectation in terms of what is under one buck look like, right? Oh, here's a bunch of cuts for it, right? And then the person can put themselves in that position once you weren't able to do that. Like, I would have had to say, hey, can you send me some CDs, right? Can you send me some CDs with blitz period on it? Here's my address. You know, put it in the regular mail because I don't want to pay the courier service. Like, these days, these guys can get it in real time. So I think that that's a huge advantage. But here's the other thing, though, too. Everybody can do that. So you have an advantage personally, but you don't have an advantage, depending on who you are, over the rest of the league, because everybody can do it.
Who took my pages off the fax machine? I needed those.
Right. Where's my overhead projector?
Yeah. Okay. Speaking of watching tape, you guys are going to go watch some tape. You're going to cut up some tape for the next hour. We got some more clips and everything going on. Run across to the Midtown Plaza, boys. Grab yourselves a coffee, and we're going to talk to you again in the next hour.
You betcha, Barney. Thank you.
Training Camp Reports brought to you by Souls Harbor Rescue Mission in Regina, showing compassion and kindness to our neighbors in need. For more information or to donate, see shrmsk.ca today. It is the all-new Sports Cage, the home of Rough Rider Training Camp, 620 CKRM.
The all-new Sports Cage. Text 306-936-6262. 620 CKRM.
Saskatchewan's the all-new Sports Cage. Barney Shinker, Kellen Enslev, Dave Thomas, and Luke Mullender are back in the saddle up in Saskatoon. We are the home of Rough Rider Training Camp, and it's for Souls Harbor Rescue Mission in Regina, showing compassion and kindness to our neighbors in need. For more information or to donate, see shrmsk.ca today. All right, guys up there, you had a chance here to cut up some tape and chat and watch some tape and all that. First off, you know what, Luke, I'm going to throw this first to you. As Rodney in Regina on the Capital Ford Lincoln text line texted in, we're taking your questions if you have any for the boys up in Saskatoon. He said, for rookie DB and O-line, how many appear to be ready to push any starters? Kind of tough after 2 days, but anything that comes to mind there?
Yeah, next to impossible after 2 days, especially of rookie camp. But right away, I mean, the defensive back, obviously, Dave talked to one of them, CJ Colden Jr. today. Holton Hill also had a decent day, I think. But again, these guys are going to have to, you're going to jump out on film right now, and then the main guys are going to come in. And once you get guys that understand how to do a waggle, for instance, once you get guys who understand how to read a CFL defense and are comfortable with certain things, then your ability is going to be pushed. But I think that those two defensive backs, I'll tell you what, one guy that we all have to watch is number 62. Okay. His last name is Tucker.
Jordan
Tucker.
Yeah.
So he was here last year. All right. But he got hurt.
Yeah.
They didn't see much of him. But one of the things that you know about the Saskatchewan Rough Rider roster, that the opposite side of wherever Jamarcus Hardrick slots in this year, that tackle position is open. This guy's 6'6", 340 pounds.
Big dude.
And is going into his second year in the Canadian Football League. Now, you were injured. I get it. So you weren't on the field, right? But just being out there, understanding some of the things ahead of the other guys, situates him well. So I like Tucker, number 62, to make an impact. Hopefully, once main camp starts, like, maybe he gets an opportunity. Jonathan Hubbard's another interesting guy on the offensive line. So there's what we have to remember too, guys, is there are a couple guys that got opportunities to play when there was nothing to play for last year at the end of 2023.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Two of those guys are playing defense right now. Number 95, Habakkuk Baldonado. He was here last year. He did some good things at the end of the year, put it on tape, got invited back. He was all over the field today. He looks really comfortable. And by the way, he looked comfortable playing defensive tackle and defensive end, right? So that's a guy, when you understand, just like Colden said in his interview, hey, the more you can do, especially as a defensive lineman, an American defensive lineman, he needs to have a good camp, and he looks like he's ready. But the guy I'm really interested in is number 97, Christian Albright. Because the defensive end, starting defensive end in that rotation, that's not set yet. And Christian Albright looks like he's in tremendous shape. And I think that he's going to make that transition from year one to year two. He looked comfortable today, looked like he was getting his feet under himself. And that's another guy, I think, that especially when main camp opens up, we got to keep an eye on him, because he was fantastic last year in circumstances where nothing really mattered. But hey, that's not none of his business, and he needed tape, and he put it on.
Rodney, thanks for the call. If you want to ask the questions again, 936-6262. Okay, so an old golf analogy, Dave Thomas, that you've heard a lot of time, Luke, to you, all your years camp and again covering. Now, you can't win a spot on day two. Can you lose your spot on day two?
The situation these guys are in, from yesterday all the way through. This is the most scrutinized job interview in the entire world. And this job interview lasts for months. Mm-hmm. This is the start of it. You get to interview to be potentially a guy on the team right now, right? So the answer, can you lose your spot? Absolutely. There's guys in the coach's mind that were out there today that aren't going to be here at the end of training.
That's what I was getting at, yeah.
And those coaches are going to keep these guys around. A, something, the light might turn on, but B, they also need to be fair physically to the other guys, and you need camp bodies. But there are two or three guys that coaches right now know aren't making this team.
Right? Training Camp Report is brought to you by Souls Harbor Rescue Mission Regina, showing compassion and kindness to our neighbors in need. For more information or to donate, see shrmsk.ca. Now, Luke, I do want you to expand, though, for a second on Rodney's point, and maybe even what you said, Barney, the fact that you can win or lose jobs. When you're talking O-linemen and D-linemen, because there are so few padded practices now, does that make it that much harder to make an impact, especially if you play along the line of scrimmage?
Absolutely. You have to, A, rely on technique. I don't want to keep hashing on you have to be coachable, but that's the biggest thing. Mm-hmm. Be coachable, right? Show that you're understanding what the coach is asking you from day one to day two, from day two to day three to main camp, right? But that's why the windows of opportunity, that's why it's the most scrutinized job interview in the world. And I remember having these conversations when I was a vet with younger guys. Younger guys would always complain about the reps they got. I would, they would sit in the hot tub and you'd pass them and they'd be saying, man, I only got two reps. I'm out of here. And I would stop. And this is I didn't learn this until later on in my career either. So it was important for me to impart this on them. But you might only get two reps. That might be it.
Yeah.
Period. You might only get two reps. So what's on tape? Is it a guy that you can tell that body language, assignment wise, just is really frustrated? Or is it a guy that you're like, oh my God, I need to give this kid more reps, right? That's the environment these guys are in right now, right? And listen, control what you can control. Yeah, there are no pads on, but hey, you got shells on, you got helmets on. It's a physical game, period. This sport of football is founded in violence. You're never going to get away from that, especially in the trenches. It doesn't matter if you have your pads on or not. It's a violent game based on one-to-one impact.
Well, you mentioned the word coachable. And one guy who's our one to watch today from training camp for Quality Tire with 9 locations across Saskatchewan, qualitytire.ca. One to watch today was Catley Joseph, because not only was he coachable, he was coaching other defensive backs along the way. And the University of Saskatchewan Husky, of course, was signed as a free agent by the Riders just prior to the CFL draft. And I had a chance to ask him what the whole training camp experience with the Riders has been like for him.
You know, I always say it, but it's a blessing, you know, just being able to play at the professional level. As I said, Saskatchewan Rough Riders taking a chance on me, believing in my talent. And as you said, you know, I kind of have the advantage since, you know, I'm Husky bred now, right? So, it's been great, you know, being on this field and, you know, honestly, playing a different position too. It's all been like a fun challenge for me, and I'm up for it.
Well, Catley, you are doing something that you weren't asked to do before. You're moving to safety. The coaches are putting you there. How has the move been for you?
Honestly, like whenever, you know, it's a reward, right? When you go out there and you do what you're supposed to do and make some plays, you know, that's what it's about. You want to go out there, compete, and have fun. I think like as a DB group, you know, with Coach Bell, what he does, he really challenges us, you know. The way he looks at us, it's like, hey, he knows like at the end of the day, we're all a big family. We're all trying to, you know, compete against the receivers and the offense and win those battles. So whenever you go out there and you play fast, as he said, it's about playing fast. So, you know, we're in the playbook. We understand everything from like that standpoint to that one. We step on the field, it's just reacting and playing fast. So it's fun.
Now, today you were one of many. Well, today you had the opportunity to get that first pick at camp. Explain it to me.
I can't even put it in words. The first interception for me in camp so far. Basically, coach says, whenever you catch that ball, just, you know, return it. So ultimately, I had a feeling of what was going on. And when I saw that one strong receiver break in on that dig, I knew that it was either going to be a big hit or it would be a tip. And catch it and score. So it was fun to see my knowledge being put into, you know, action and making the most out of it.
Well, good stuff. Good stuff. It is the Sports Cage, and we are the home of Rough Rider Training Camp. We're going to be right back. We're going to keep talking to the fellas up in Saskatoon on the home of the Saskatchewan Rough Rider, 620 CKRM.
The all-new Sports Cage. Be part of the show. Call 936-6262 or toll-free 1-866-767-0620. 620 CKRM.
Our training camp reports are brought to you by Souls Harbor Rescue Mission, showing compassion and kindness to our neighbors in need. For more information or to donate, see shrmsk.com today. All right, fellas up in Saskatoon, we've talked about a lot of guys that were standing out, guys that, you know, had a good day, so to speak. Was there anyone that wasn't on the field in day two?
Well, I don't think you want to take a day off in day two unless your leg is broken in 16,000 pieces. But his leg isn't in that many pieces, but it isn't all together. Nick Weeb, the second-round draft pick of the Riders, he was there today, and he was actually being put through a workout with strength and conditioning coach Dan Farthing. So they say that he is well ahead of what a recovery time schedule would be for the leg injury that he has. And today he looked pretty good. He was running the ladder and looked pretty mobile and agile, which I think is a good thing.
The technology these kids have access to,
yeah,
these days. Like Aaron Rodgers came back from a torn Achilles in what, 3-4 months?
Oh,
in my day, I'm 43 and I'm saying back in my day. But back in my day, you tore your Achilles, that was a year.
Yeah.
Period.
Mm. Yeah.
These days it's 4 months and good, because Nick Weeb's a baller. But he would listen, that guy, shout out to the Huskies, by the way, shout out to Coach Fleury. But that guy, if he hadn't had that injury, he would have been a first round pick.
Yep.
He's a baller.
Yep. Not on the field today, brought to you by Quality Tire with 9 locations across Saskatchewan, qualitytire.ca.
I can't believe you went there for Jets fans, Luke.
Jets fans.
For Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers.
Man, the Jets. I love watching the Jets be so beautiful.
But it's amazing. Every time someone brings that up, it's crazy how fast he got back, or he could have got back from a torn Achilles. Like you said, that's a year. That's that little wheelie thing with your knee on that for like 4 or 5 months.
Yeah.
And this guy was back planting and throwing the football.
Like, it was crazy to watch.
Do you really think he was coming back? Do you really think?
No, I think he could have, but he wasn't.
I think if he would have came back, we would have lost him for good. It would have been over. He would have either torn the other Achilles or the Achilles, because that's the other thing. So as good as the advanced technology is to get someone back earlier from injury, again, back in my day, when you did rehab it for a year, the Achilles actually came back stronger.
Oh.
It was like, yeah, I didn't know that either, but you actually reinforced it, so it's like having a super Achilles. Yeah. But I don't think that the technology these days, I mean, he may have gotten him back earlier. I don't know if it was a super Achilles, though. I don't think he was out there like Iron Man. Right?
So to all pickleballers who are coming back from an Achilles injury, it's going to be better than ever.
Pickleball. your Achilles report brought to you by... No, okay, you guys go get some more tape. And we got Glenn Suter coming up in a bit, and then we're all going to join Glenn on it. It is the Rider, the home of Rough Rider Training Camp, 620 CKRM.
Don't miss a minute of the all-new Sports Cage. Podcasts are posted at sportscage.com. 620 CKRM.
All of our Rough Rider training camp reports brought to you by Souls Harbor Rescue Mission in Regina, showing compassion and kindness to our neighbors in need. For more information or to donate, see shrmsk.com today. All right, fellas, every day, you're lucky, Dave Thomas, you get to chat with the new head coach, Corey Mace. Interested to get your take on that today.
Absolutely. And it was a louder day today with more intensity and a lot of guys that were competing and battling hard compared from day one to day two. And again, had a chance to catch up with Coach Mace after the workout. It's, of course, our conversation with Coach. What matters to Mace, brought to you by Quality Tire with 9 locations across Saskatchewan, qualitytire.ca. And asked him if he was just happy with the progression that he saw from day one to day two.
Yeah, I think certainly having that first day of practice, you know, you get meeting time before that, then you get on the field. And then once you get the corrections now, those small things, those subtle things, it translated much better today. You know, it's the things right now that, you know, we're harping on that's doesn't matter where you play, you know, penalties and stuff like that, that we want to still maintain that we're on top of. So yesterday to today, certainly the corrections that were made and understanding the game, yeah, these guys picked it up real fast.
There were some battles going on, and it looked like at times, Coach, that the defense had the upper hand. Would you agree?
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to take your word for it. I think I heard that. I was down there at the one-on-ones. You know, I know Skelly, I heard a couple guys, you know, hooing and hawing down there. But, you know, yeah, we're very greedy, I guess, from a group, from a defensive standpoint. You know, Coach Bell and Coach JC and obviously Coach Lynn and Coach Daniels, we're really telling these guys to claw and fight for everything. And, you know, there's no rule that's exclusive, that the ball's in the air, it belongs to the offense. So these guys have been doing a good job attacking the ball and getting touches and disruption. Certainly I was pleased with that. And then the team periods as well, you know, they ended up getting their hands on the ball. But the parlay off of that, you know, we had some busts yesterday that couldn't really hurt you. So it's just a give and take. You know, I suspect that, you know, watching the tape now, that, you know, the offense will see what that happened there, and they'll come back and they'll try to dump it on the defense. So that's great. That's healthy competition. You love that.
It seemed like the volume was turned up a little bit on the field today, Coach. Does an increase in volume mean an increase in intensity?
Yeah, I just said to the guys there, I'd even like to see a little bit more. You know, it's okay to compete and talk a little trash back and forth. It's okay. I think it brings the intensity up, you know, as long as we understand and respect our teammates. But, you know, it's a football game, Dave. You know, we want to have fun out there. But the competition's got to be high, and sometimes you got to kind of light a fire. And I want those guys to do it and manufacture it with their play and not necessarily from the coaching staff.
Coach, maybe one more for you before we're done today. Let's turn offense for a moment. And, of course, a name very familiar to Rider fans, Deshaun Mims. Of course, the son of Robert, plays as a receiver at the University of Regina. He got a number of targets yesterday and looked good again today. By my eyes, what are you seeing from the young receiver?
Yeah, Mims had a great day. He had a great day yesterday. You know, I'll go back, watch the film, see what he looked like today, if he leveled up from that. But he had a great day. He's got a great shot. You know, obviously familiarity. I don't know if it's a homer thing with Mueller, you know what I mean, with the Rams stuff. But, no, he's a great receiver. Obviously, there's pro pedigree there. But to keep him in town, the opportunity means a lot to him, which means a lot to us. So it's easy for him to just kind of have that goal to say, hey, I want to play for the Riders. And then, you know, that's done already. So now what are you going to do with it? Day one, he showed out. He's ready to do more. So really happy with him and excited for him.
There you go. Head coach Corey Mace of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Day two of rookie camp in the books, Luke Mullender. And again, he touched on the defense. Really looked like they had a solid day. And then some receivers stood out too. You mentioned a couple already that caught your eye, and even some linemen already.
Yeah, and one of the guys also that catches your eye organically, just because he stands out, but more importantly with his play today, Geronimo Allison, right? Former mm-hmm. Green Bay Packer. I remember having this cat on my fantasy team at one point. I was mad at him. He didn't do anything. But at the same time, it's wild to see him down here. And again, the NFL, you come up here, some guys come up here and they don't take it seriously. So it's going to be interesting to see how Geronimo Allison continues to build, but he looked good out there today. You're right. I mean, Mims, the Canadian kids that are used to the game, they have a little bit of an advantage. They're used to the waggle, but it's not anything that jumps out at you. The other thing is too, like, we talk a lot about the width of the field and the size of the football. To be honest, to fans, the 1 yard, it's football at the end of the day for these guys. You don't notice certain things. Like, nobody runs out there. Well, maybe if you're running from the huddle to your position as the widest side wide receiver, maybe. But nobody's like, oh man, this field's so wide. You're playing ball.
Yeah.
You're trying to ball out and you're trying to do your best. So it was nice to see Geronimo Allison seeming like he's catching on.
Yeah. You talked about, you know, guys, how they come up here and they don't take it seriously. Is that still as prevalent as it was back in the day?
I don't think so, because of the ability to access film these days, right? You can YouTube, you can, again, all of these film services that teams use, right?
Mm-hmm.
They've got plenty. People can see and feel the game now, right? And they understand. And now the word's getting out, right? You get guys who've come up here, like Chad Johnson, for instance, who has a fantastic personal platform. When he says you need to take the Canadian Football League seriously, you look at that if you're a guy coming up here, right? But more importantly, the Canadian Football League, if you're getting an opportunity as an American to play in the Canadian Football League, you're probably on your last leg, right?
Yeah.
You're looking for an opportunity. So it depends on how bad you want to be a football player, a professional football player, right? And if you're just happy that you're getting the opportunity and you're going to go and see and try it out, you're going to last a couple days. But once the fur really starts flying, once the vets get in there, once it gets physical, those pads get on, you're going to get left in the dust.
So saying that, we saw the intensity dial turned up a little bit today for day two. How much further does it get cranked up for the final day of rookie camp tomorrow?
I think that one would hope that it continues to build.
Mm-hmm.
I think it probably will. And I think the biggest reason why it will is because every time we've talked to Coach Mace, the interview you just did, this is a guy that understands how important a foundation of rookie camp is. And I think that this is one of the reasons why this is a guy that the players can relate to, that can understand. He gets it. And I think that it's going to be really interesting to see these guys come out of this experience and walk into that main camp. Because, man, I'm telling you guys, that tempo and that pace picks up,
Dave,
something serious.
Dave, I always like to end it kind of on a lighter side. Yesterday, we talked about vintage car guy with Coach Mace. any wacky fan stuff today?
Nothing that I really spotted out of the ordinary. However, there was a good-looking young chap that was delivering cookies that seemed to go over quite well.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
We had crumble cookies today, boys. We could do a whole show on the crumble cookie I had today.
I think we could have done a whole show on crumble cookies and Luke worried about people parking in downtown Saskatoon. It's been an awesome show watching you. Hey, fellas, go get some rest tomorrow. Don't wear black. It's supposed to be at least 26 degrees. I don't know if you got the bucket hats going on. Unless you want the back sweat and all that kind of stuff, wear light colors tomorrow, fellas.
Rider green.
There you go.
Right on. That's Luke Mullender and the new voice of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, Dave Thomas, and our Rough Rider training camp on the home of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, 620 CKRM.